I am recording.
Good afternoon, ladies and genders.
Ladies and genders. I have news. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about getting into American football.
No.
I feel like I would enjoy having a sport to watch. Yeah. And I heard the other day that the Green Bay Packers mm-hmm. are not for profit and owned by the community.
Yeah, it's the Packers are.
And I've always had a bit of a soft spot for like Milwaukee and that kind of area. So I think it's
a nice area. Yeah.
Good flag. Yeah.
Good, amazing flag, yeah. And it's like a post-industrial, like not one of the big fancy cities. It's a post-industrial kind of like one of the ones that gets. Yeah, so I thought, you know, I'm gonna give it a go.
You're gonna be a Packers fan, wow.
Yeah. What are the associations with that? Because obviously I'm coming in for nothing at all.
Well, I mean, they're in the same division as some really tough teams.
Hmm.
But they've had quite a lot of success. I mean, they're a historically very successful team.
So, okay.
You know.
I mean, I need to learn American football, first of all.
Yeah.
Nothing really makes me cringe more than Americans talking about sports.
Why?
There's always this like,
Americans.
Particularly with Americans, because it's like they have to convince you that they're really into the sport. There's always this
no, to me, like, it's less cringe than British people talking about football, because at least it's... At least things happen in their sports.
No, British people talking about football don't pretend to be smarter than they are.
Oh, they do.
They're like, hey, we're going to win the World Cup. We're the best team in the world.
No. That's for me, I think American sports fans, it seems like it's more self-aware that it's just like, it's very statsy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the sports come down to stats. Which, you know, are a reasonable measure of a lot of things in most cases. That's why the sports sims work quite well. And I mean, I think even proper football has got like that over the years, the last few years.
Soccer football is so low scoring that I just think it leaves so much to chance.
Yeah, but they talk a lot about, you know, the stats and possession times and all that stuff now.
Yeah.
They do all that sort of thing.
Oh, it's such a boring fucking sport, though.
Can be.
What is? Which one?
Soccer
football.
Oh,
soccer ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we going to address the elephant in the world, not just in the room, but in the world at this today? I know this is a temporarily non-connected show, but
well, we're not going out on TikTok, so I think we're okay.
Oh, I want to express my disappointment.
Trump saved TikTok.
Mm.
Oh, is that happening?
Yeah, I mean, he wanted rid of it less than a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to get rid
of it.
No,
but then it helps his campaign, so
yeah,
now he likes it.
Now he likes it. Yeah, now he's saved it. Single-handedly, of course.
Mm. I mean, I know. I want to express my disappointment at the Democrats for not honouring the tradition of storming the Capitol when you lose. It's a long-running tradition that they've just not observed this time.
Yeah, it's a total shit show.
Yeah, well, good luck to them or not, as the case may be.
Good luck particularly to minorities, brown people.
Half of them voted for him!
Yeah, they increased his vote dramatically with minorities.
It's not going to stop them getting rounded up.
I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
Yeah, do you ever read history at all, Drew? Before Hitler got in, it was, this isn't going to happen.
Like,
this isn't
the last 50 years of American politics, they're like, we're going to round everybody up, and then it never happens.
But it did. It happened when he was in power last time.
Oh, yeah, because he built that wall, didn't he, between
he did build
America
the wall,
Mexico,
partly, but also
and,
they had these ice raids and everything,
got
tearing
Mexico
people's
to pay
families
for it.
Apart and everything.
Less than under Biden.
I would have to see the figures on that to believe you.
Well, go have a look at them, because less than under Biden...
But nah, there's dangerous days coming. I'm not right. If you're going to be all apologetic and appeasement,
I'm not apologetic for Trump. They're all fucking bad.
Yeah, they are. But what I'm saying is this man, not this man, but this movement is one of the most dangerous things that's happened for a long time.
They literally said that in 2016, and he was a normal Republican president. You can't.
I disagree.
Call me once, custard.
Right, okay. You live in your world. we'll see what happens.
I think you're
massively underestimating it this time.
We will still be around. Well, maybe not me, but the world will still be around.
No, the planet will still be here. Yeah.
We will come. We'll come back to it in 4 years.
I'll be happy to. We'll put a fiver on it. I'd be really, really fucking happy to be wrong. But given the way that things are going there and around the world. You can argue about the semantics of fascism versus calling it oligarchy or what is it, cacostrophe, whatever the fuck they call it. There's all these other ones. You can argue about the semantics of it, but.
The politics around the world is getting shittier and shittier, but I don't think because of. I blame that more on the Democrats. Years and years of the Democrats operating.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the right wing have done something right. You know,
I don't think Trump is the one. I don't think Trump is the one who's going to usher in an era of fascism.
But he's,
I think
the fucking figurehead. That's the problem. That's how it comes.
I think he is.
Right. Okay. Let's just carry on because obviously,
if anything, I think he's more moderate this time, and I think he has to be now. His base is more brown people and women, and you know.
Good luck with that. Anyway, I believe we've watched a show called The Expanse. The Expanse.
Avastrella's husband's changed.
Yeah, I've got a note of that. Yeah, he does change. Yeah, he's a different actor. They couldn't get the other actor back after the season break, you know, after the show was away for 18 months.
It's not Bashir's dad anymore.
No, or the guy from a million other things, but yeah.
was there like a secret switch out when he was on Luna and they tried to like maybe like Avastrella has face blindness? It's like, look, I want out, you want in, or switch places. No, it's a thing.
It's interesting that like not only is it a different actor, he's playing him different as well. He's a more charismatic, less subservient.
That's true. Interesting that it's not just
because I think first time through I didn't realize that was supposed to be her husband. I thought that was a new character.
Oh right,
because he's quite different in
he's appearance wise he's completely different. Yeah, he's like been round faced and
I mean it took me about halfway through the episode
even characteristics because...
but there was some heavy there was a lot of like my love and like
right
as your wife or as your husband.
I think they were just trying to slam it home sort of thing.
I think what I thought was she was having an affair with somebody on the moon or something.
Fair enough.
That sounds like a really like that sounds like a Daily Sport headline.
Affair on the moon.
Yeah.
Manager of Earth has affair on moon.
I liked what he said about Gothic cathedrals and Mars, though. I thought that was very interesting
I thought you'd pick up on that.
Are you not a fan? I didn't think you were a fan of the Gothic period.
Oh, no, Gothic is the high point. Yeah, the Renaissance, shitty. Gothic, good.
Right, okay. I'll defer to you on the artistic... merits.
I mean, I'm just following. What's his name? I can't remember his name, so I can't tell you.
Mr. Goth,
the one who wrote The Stones of Venice. I can't remember his name. A British sort of.
You know, you're the only one that's got an arty background, really.
that idea of generational effort, and he used Gothic cathedrals as an example. You lay the first stone, and you've got to rely that your grandchildren will lay
the final stone.
And he's saying that like Mars still thinks in those terms, and Earth has lost that. And I think that's
Mars is going to lose it in the way things are going, though.
Yeah,
if heroes
like
Bobby can be disillusioned by them.
I mean, is generational planning a good or a bad thing? Like, it feels.
Yeah, you have to rely on your. I suppose it depends on how you treat your antecedents.
Your descendants or your.
Descendants, sorry. Yeah. Because, you know, if you're. That's it. That's the whole thing, really. It depends how you treat your family. If they're going to be nurturing and together, or if they're going to be.
They talk about a thing in the book that I mention a lot, the Ministry for the Future. which is speculative fiction about climate change. And one of the things they talk, they don't invent it, it's a thing in climate science, but the idea that we don't factor in, because we sort of take a kind of utilitarian approach to things like how much benefit versus how much cost, right? But we don't factor in the cost or benefit to future generations.
Well, I mean, I would personally, but I know what you're saying. That's how things get.
But I mean, literally, like on an economic basis, on a mathematical basis, so that, you know, they're kind of coming up with formulas for how you would factor. And as soon as you factor in future generations, things that seem cheap now are actually becoming incredibly costly. And that's a way to contextualize, you know, decisions about carbon and stuff. But I think it's like that, really. We do need to factor in future generations.
Indeed. Well, that could go for all sorts of things. You know, food production, land use in that respect.
Absolutely.
Climate change, particularly one of the biggest and most pressing problems we have.
Honestly, that's why I don't really care that much about Trump in the grand scheme of things, because climate change will fuck it all up for everyone.
It's not like...
I'm just worried that we're three white men. We're all relatively, you know, we're not rich or anything, but we're all relatively comfortable.
We're three white men with empathy, the ability to read, and imagination, so we can understand.
Oh, I'm not saying we don't have an insight, but I think, let's just leave it and carry on with this.
I mean, we all live in the environment.
Yeah. I mean, climate change, we're all on the same page, you know.
Well, actually, no, the global south is probably more fucked than we are.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
And this leads to refugees traveling from other places, and then
I actually like that. I think that idea that the third world or the developing world, however you want to put it, is more fucked than we are, it's been a little bit damaging, because it can encourage people here to go like, okay, no problem, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like you've got
and I think the fires in LA, you know, deaths are tragic, blah blah blah. But the fires in LA, I think, are used that hit.
Well, it literally lit a fire under the arse.
You know? Yeah, literally the richest people in the world. So I think that's a good thing in a way to show.
Half of them are still saying it's not climate change, though. You know?
Oh, I know, but at least it's. I mean, it's don't look up, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Well, that's where my recent journey. But also, I mean, despair started a few weeks ago. I think watching that again.
Oh, my despair was like this a long time ago. But like, I mean, they built a city on a desert. Like, I mean, I gotta be honest. Like, the whole of LA.
Yeah, it's on a fault line. It's in the desert.
They need to abandon LA. Just move LA. Do what they did in the Simpsons.
No, just leave most of them there.
Again, I think
most of the people in LA are the people you want to leave there. Just get all the poor people out. Get all the working class people out. Get them somewhere nice.
The thing is with LA is they have like a third of the United States' homeless population.
Mm.
Really?
It's like, and yeah, like I don't know. It seems to me like homeless people travel to LA.
I mean, that makes sense because it's got a pleasant. Yeah, if you're going to be homeless, would you'd much rather be homeless in somewhere where you're not going to freeze to death than you know?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is true. Well, again, I think in Ministry
of the Future, they do. I think they semi-abandon LA and sort of rewild it and stuff, which is it's a good book. You should read it.
Well, it's interesting, we're talking about, you know, people being displaced and refugees and stuff, and we've got this whole series four of The Expanse is sort of centred around that, really, isn't it? Mm. As we've seen already in the two episodes we've covered already, it's, you know, the belters that came through there came through illegally, you know, but, you know, what's legal and what's right are two different things, as we know from all sorts of things. They came through illegally. They found something valuable, so suddenly, you know, the Henners want it. Yeah. Don't check out the other 100 or 1,000 and whatever planets, you know, just, oh, there's something there, we want it now. Mm. You know, so there's that. But also there's, like, the fact that they're refugees because Earth and Mars had a battle above Ganymede. Not for any other reason, you know, not for anything.
Also, they're not... Maybe they are formally because of the opiate, but, like, they're not... Like, it's not really... justified that the belters are subject to the rules that Earth and Mars lay down.
Mm. Exactly.
I don't know. If
especially not on a fresh planet, you know.
Yeah. Mm. I assume they have some kind of like interplanetary law or something framework, but it is a bit, you know.
Well, yeah, but it only exists between Earth and Mars.
Well, where are the boundaries?
This is the thing. This is the problem with the belt. Yeah. The belts And the people in the colonies and the asteroids and all that stuff that are, you know, who are widely known as the Belters, don't have a specific center point of thing. You know, they're literally subservient to Earth in all sorts of ways. You know, so I got some in my eye. It's really bugging me. Yeah. Or is it? I've got some of those, what do you call them, calcium spots. Yeah. Do something about that. Basically what's happening is that Earth and Mars have to go, oh yeah, we'll let this corporation do what they want there. We're giving them the license. But what under what right? All? You know, it's literally North America, isn't it? Mm. That's literally what they're talking about. But
fundamentally, same as international law, when you get right down to it, it comes down to power.
Yeah, yeah. There's the people that control international law are still the people that are.
Yeah, you know, the people, the IMF and the World Bank are beholden to. Yeah.
But the thing is, we discussed this already as well before when we were talking about the ring space at the end of the last series. It's like, what's going to happen next? And the point is that, as we say, there's like 1,400 1,400 systems or something. Why do they have to give them the right for something that they, you know, when was that? Yeah. Was that issued, or did they just issue a blanket thing to these people? To the EER, whatever it is.
I assume what's happening.
One corporation, but we only hear about one of them in the show.
I assume what's happening is that the OPA, who are the closest thing the Belters have to a government, are agreeing to these terms. I mean, that's what
I don't think they get any say. That's the point. That's what I'm saying.
I think that's what we see with Drummer and Ashford. They are not enthusiastically, but they are agreeing to those terms. So in that, you know, if you agree that the OPA is a legitimate government of the Belt, but I think a lot of Belters don't necessarily feel that way.
Yeah,
they are governed.
But the point is, we don't agree with that. We're not governed by people that we've chosen. So.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could say, any of us that voted rubber stamped the system, but we've not had. Mm. You know, anyway, let's. I was just going to say it's possibly going to put a bit of external information, but it doesn't affect the show. So I'm going to talk about RCE a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
RCE is Royal Charter Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Royal, what's wrong? That's a great one. And they've got it's an Earth corporation, and they've got offices in Luna. And a small work group on Ganymede, whatever that means exactly, a work group. Nah, it's like a satellite office or something, I suppose. Now, that's why they're the ones that went to the same place as the Ganymede Belters, basically.
Okay.
That's why, because there's other companies, including, you know, we know one huge corporation already.
But they were chartered by... Who were they chartered by, actually, to go and stick their noses in?
They're already sort of... Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it was probably formed by Earth and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to... Here's the history.
Sorry, I don't really mean chartered. I mean, who were they contracted by to go to ELOS?
United Nations. They were given a UN charter for scientific exploration.
Right,
on New Terra. So there's a lot of... They've been, basically, I think that... Yeah, going by the way this is written, they've just been given a blanket charter to look at X number of systems. But since they... You know, why they picked this one? Oh, because suddenly somebody found something there. Mm. You know, the lithium. Mm. And I mean, they're very well paid. They're given hazard pay and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, there were hazards.
And they're involved in a lot of other stuff, but not, you know, it doesn't expand into the TV show, just in the books. So I'm not going to say much more about them because it's not directly relevant, really.
Mm-hmm.
The episode's called Jetson, by the way.
Okay.
After the TV show.
Pardon?
After the TV show, the Jetsons.
Jetson, one of the four, whatever you call them. Salvage
Flotsam,
rules or whatever.
Flotsam, Jetsam. What are the other two?
Oh, God. I knew you were going to ask me that and I've forgotten.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
I only know Flotsam and Jetsam too.
No, there's bollocks. Lagan and Derelict. You must know Derelict.
Ooh. Derelict makes sense,
Right, okay, let's go through this quickly then. Oh, my God, hang on. Right. Flotsam is the one we all know. That's stuff that if something sinks and the stuff floats to the top, you can claim that. So if a ship sinks, you can claim the stuff that's there. Jetsam is, I mean, the clues in the jet is jettisoned. So that's cargo that's been intentionally discarded. But in the law, if you find these things, you don't have to return them unless you're asked to. So if you jettison something and somebody else finds it and they don't find it, it's theirs then. But if you know that they've got it, you can say, wait a minute, that's ours. But it's it's well, as always, America's got a slightly different take on this. So although there is international maritime law, and the US slant on that is that anybody who finds it can keep it. It's theirs.
Okay.
Finders keepers is the American answer. Lagan or legan is stuff that's sunk with a marker, you know, like a boy or whatever. So and that's theirs. They're intending to go back for it. So that's if they find something, they can't take it all back. Something heavy or whatever, like a wreck or something. If they want to come back for it, they can mark that, and it's again that has to be returned to the people who marked it, essentially, who cast it over. Derelict is stuff that's sunk completely and is abandoned. Yeah, so I mean, they're not expecting that to be recovered. So things like that's why rich bastards can go and try and explore wrecks of like famous ships and stuff, because it's you know, anything goes, as it were. There you go. So jettisons and stuff has been jettisoned, which maybe there's more meanings. There often are in these episodes, but the main meaning I would take it to be is all those bodies that were jettisoned from the. The ship.
Also that man's brains were jettisoned from his head.
Oh, at the end, near the end.
Wait, the man's brain that got jettisoned?
He got shot.
Got it.
So, the show kicks off, though, with a very interesting effects-laden shot.
The
investigator's view, and he's arguing. Well, it sounds like he's arguing with himself, but obviously he's arguing with the you know, whoever's. I don't know who's directing him. That's the interesting.
I would think the station at this point. Is the proto molecule like central command at this point?
So you think that's what's telling him to do stuff, and he keeps talking back to it in metaphor and things. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. And then he goes, oh, this is interesting, what's this? And there's an interesting thing came up in this episode, actually, that we recently had a discussion about elsewhere, I think. Mm-hmm. There was a video we'd watched, actually, that was it, and it was the carbon-based life thing. And that myth was reiterated in this show. But we know, because we watched the videos of, what's her name? I forgot her name.
Angela Collier.
I kind of knew some of this already because the stuff's more volatile, and the other stuff above carbon in the periodic table is actually more volatile. So there's loads of reasons for it not to be another kind of life form other than carbon.
And water seems to be really important as well. Like,
yeah, water's important for life. So
there's not many things that can fill the role that water fills for us, like liquid at room temperature.
Standard temperature and pressure and all that.
Aids a lot of chemical reactions and stuff.
It's the universal solvent, as they call it.
So
things like lithium and stuff are way more reactive as well. So it's like not lithium, silicon. Sorry, is what I meant to say. Yeah, they're reacting different ways. Anyway, so yeah, a little bit of interest. So if you don't know what we're talking about, go and check out Angela Collier's videos. Unfortunately,
in the show, it's when she sort of chastises. Who is it she's chastising for thinking? Oh, is it Naomi?
Yeah, she calls. Yeah. She says to Naomi, terms. "That's very terrestrial thinking." And Naomi goes, "Oh, do you fucking think so?"
Naomi gets a lot of like, I guess you call it microaggression-y
prejudice. Racism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because again, when we're in the buggy and the woman says like,
belters,
if it's not useful to them, they can't see it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you've got us all figured out.
Like, Holden just smirks. I like.
Yeah, that woman's sort of likable, but sort of not. I think it's the racism that's built into her.
I don't think we're supposed to think she's a bad person. She's just sheltered and limited in her view.
In terms
of people and. Stuff.
Very earther.
So we've got the speaking of floating things, floating in space, jetsam. We've got all the bodies floating through space near the ring, from a destroyed what we think is a destroyed ship, or an attacked ship. That's the word I'm looking for. A ship that's been attacked by pirates, belter pirates, and that's the Sojourner. And this is interesting, because I was thinking at the end of the last episode, I was thinking, what happens if you go round the ring and come through the other side? Does anything happen?
Does it even happen on the side?
Well, yeah, we see it from the other side in some shots, and it's blank.
It's different from...
It's blank.
Yeah.
It's like you can see through it, like you could before it turned on.
I hope somebody's tried that.
Well, I wondered about that. I don't remember it in the show any time. But what we do know is that things that go in through a ring and then hit one of the outer edges again, without going through another ring, do disassociate. So we don't know where they go. so, you know, that's a good reason not to send a person through. and it's interesting that the way the bodies drifted in, they went through the ring, and then a few seconds later, they just hit the inner edge and disassociated.
Went through the back of the ring, I would assume that the ring doesn't give a shit about directionality. You still go into the
Ring
space.
It doesn't look like that though on the shots. It's not.
Yeah,
if it looks different. Yeah,
my guess would be that you just go through the ring and nothing happens.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I might look that up later on. I don't want to get into a rabbit hole or something like that just now, because that would take up a lot of time. Yeah. So Drummer and. Ashford are on the what's it called now? Medina Station now. So it's no longer
Behemoth.
The Behemoth or
Naboo.
It's now
Medina Station.
Why did they change the name, or is it just
because it's been set up as a? It's not flying around anymore. It's set up as a station. It's just
Medina is one of the holy cities of Islam. And also the Tone Loc song, Funky Cold Medina.
Indeed. Funky Cold Medina. Anyway, before we get into that, Drummer is wearing the uniform as well.
Yeah.
I noticed something very different between Drummer and Ashford, though, in the uniform. Drummer wears it like a just sort of overall, basically, with a badge on it. But Ashford's still got all his gear attached. He's got all the little carabiners and everything. And it's like always prepared type belter thing. I wonder if that's what he's...
He's a pirate, isn't he? Whereas he's living on a station.
Although he might have just come in from patrol or something.
No, he's always like that. I've noticed.
Oh yeah, he is always like that. Isn't
he's always got he's always got the utility harness on. So if anything ever happened, he could hook onto things or whatever. New Mr. Abisarella, we've got past that. Something else I noticed on the scene with the new Mr. Abisarella, replacement Abisarella, Mr. Abisarella. Sorry, it's difficult to keep saying that. With the new husband, you notice that she does the thing where she's walking with the boots and she's doing quite well, as you point out. And she puts the pen down and everything. Did you notice anything else about other objects on that ship? On that, what's it called? It's called UN-1, like Air Force One sort of thing.
I don't think I did.
Hang on a minute. Whoa, hang on.
Yeah, hang on. See if Chris notices something. Have a wee look at. Just look around, like little ornamental objects on the ship.
So, like the coffee station.
No. Ornaments. Not practical stuff. Ornaments. But ornaments. Oh, right. There's quite a few ornaments, but there's something very specific about them, which I noticed because I was thinking about microgravity and stuff.
The ornaments.
I'm gonna have to hurry.
No, I'm not sure. No, what were
hang
you
on. I'm having a look now. Yeah.
I just, I mean, I've seen it a few times. It only clicked this time when I was watching it. It's like, oh, wait a minute. So there is, like, you know, there's like unnecessary ornamentation around. But do you not notice anything about it now? Like geometric shapes and stuff. It's all metal. I'm
guessing it's metal, so
it's all metal, so it doesn't float away.
Oh, yeah.
So if you see them, they're all on little plates and stuff, and there's like a two part thing. So it's obviously magnetized to the.
And also, no, and the bit where she picks up the pen from the air, is on a, I think, a metal tray on the side. You know, like that the tea and coffees could be magnetized too.
Yeah, everything's probably magnetized. Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea. Well, or Velcro. I mean, that's what you do in space, is Velcro and magnets.
Yeah, but Velcro's not classy, is it?
It's, you know, no, it's not as cool. No. Yeah.
No.
But yeah, just someone knows. And as I say, the shuttle's called UN-1. Just thought it was worth pointing out. Sort of Air Force One type thing. Any other thoughts about that part?
And also the
advisor guy that she's got there as well. I don't know if he's not the same advisor she's got later, is he? He must just be like her attendant on the shuttle.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if she's the boss of Earth, she's gonna have hundreds of staff, right? Thousands, even. So yeah, of all tiered and grouped and all that kind of thing. So
yeah, he's probably for the shuttle then. Yeah.
It could be anything. It could just be the guy that is on duty that day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that. Okay. I'm sorry. I was going to be a bit teleological for a moment there, but I will avoid that.
But she's doing well in the boots.
Mm-hmm. She's kind of swaggering about it, actually, isn't she?
When she says, I had a good teacher, she's thinking about Amos.
Amos,
yeah. Was it Amos? I wasn't sure if it was Amos or.
I assume she
Bobby.
Means Amos.
Maybe she means Amos, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she might mean Bobby, I guess.
Might mean both, really. But then she always says teacher. Yeah. Yeah, Amos showed her how to walk in heels, obviously. You know, that was the difference.
And the line about pump, what do you know about wearing pumps?
It didn't always work in space.
So they work out that the bomb, it was a bomb. Someone set up a bomb.
Right, you've missed a boy. Well, yeah, okay. Oh. Go on. Go carry on. Sorry. They find a blasting cap and scorch marks at the landing site. Yeah, landing pad.
It didn't look like a bomb.
Well, it was shrapnel. Well, it blew up
the landing site. Which would have sent debris upwards, which then they were then descending into. So it was they were hitting debris.
They were coming down onto the pad.
Hitting debris going up.
And
so like bullets going through the bullets, just chunks of whatever they've blown up.
And that would explain the different sizes of holes.
Yeah.
It would, yeah. Random shrapnel.
As in people.
So one would assume maybe just as a thought, that it was actually someone blowing up something of the belters that took that down.
Well, the pad, they need the pad as well, yeah. I mean, I think they say that later in the episode. It's like, we need the fucking pad as well. Why would we do it?
Yeah.
You know? So
there's maybe an undiscovered enemy. Because presumably the Earth wouldn't do themselves unless...
Well, they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
So they weren't there yet.
Unless, if you go through the ring backwards, you time travel.
I mean, you might do.
Maybe.
You go into the ring space, but the ring space of 1 week ago.
Weirdly specific, but sure.
And you can keep coming out and going back in and out and keep going backwards in time.
So if they're talking about this terrestrial, that's very terrestrial thinking, they've got clouds.
Clouds?
Clouds.
Oh, clouds.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Water, you know, like, I mean...
No, watch this. Oh, right, I see what you're saying now. Yeah.
It's very Earth-like.
It's an Earth-like planet, there's animal life and plant life and clouds. And.
I don't know this for a fact, I haven't checked, but my suspicion is that they filmed it on Earth.
Oh, I wonder if that... Yeah, maybe they did. Yeah,
I don't know, maybe not. Maybe they just filmed it.
Seems a bit far-fetched. Location. Really. Yeah. Easier to go on location half the time.
They'd have to
days.
Build that giant lightning machine.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
that's, that should have been the thing we started on, because that's the interesting, most interesting thing about the episode is the lightning machine.
I
you get upset with me for not letting you do it out of chronological order.
I don't know if I said last episode, but I'm going to say now. And also, I wasn't sure what happened in which season last episode, and I've checked, and this is it's still good, but this season is by far my least favorite.
You did
season.
Say that, actually. Yeah.
The next season, now I've looked at what's in each season, season is one of my favorite seasons.
Is it? See, that's odd that you say it, because I was thinking about what this season is about, and then I realized that something was missing from this series. And I thought, that doesn't happen until next. So that's what the next series is mostly about, is the things that happen, obviously, in the next series.
The thing that happens.
The things. And then I know what the sixth series is. I remember that because it's the last series. You kind of remember easier what the last and first are all about, don't you? But I thought the things that happen next series were also happening. And, you know,
I had to go and check.
I'm expecting the last series. Hang on, there's six seasons, right?
We've got three more, including the one we're on.
My suspicion is that time travel comes into it at one of the seasons. Not necessarily in the way that we think. You know, it's not going to be like, oh, Marty, we've got to get back to the future.
You didn't know that Christopher Lloyd was coming into it then, playing Doc.
they exist in the same universe.
Yeah, it's the same universe. Yeah.
But I mean, I reckon
Jim, you've got to do something about the proto molecule.
But if you can traverse different solar systems, then time is being manipulated in one way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah. I think that's fair to say, yeah. Mm. If you're traveling instantly to something that many light years away, then something's funky, like, I think.
It's a Bernard's Watch kind
cold
of
cold Medina. That's what's funky.
Funky cold Medina.
Actually, I was setting up a playlist and I spotted that. I mean, I played it on the show before, my music show. And I spotted it that was yesterday or the day before. I was like, oh, right. Funky Comedina. Anyway, you've jumped to the, or have you?
I will also say this season.
Series.
For me, series. This series for me. Not series, the moon. American. Be clear, or the asteroid or whatever. It's very Star Trek-y.
There's a bit,
I don't want to. I don't want to be spoilery for Chris, but
it's already got a feel of that. I think by the
obviously,
end of
the it's large. It's largely about this planet that they're on currently and the mystery of this planet. But it's very separate from. I think did I say this last time? It seems the other seasons have a lot of interweaving stuff, and this one is kind of like.
Yeah, I think we did talk about that last time. Actually, or did we talk about that personally the other day? Because we were speaking, we were speaking away from Chris, so we didn't spoil it.
Yeah,
anything.
That's
the thing I was saying. It is much more of a separate. Yeah. It's like everybody has separate adventures and they don't come together, sort of thing.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, one second. I'm just going to go for a space piss so you can talk out teleologically.
No, because then you'll see it later, so we can't. When you watch,
we'll just be silent.
Yeah, we'll just sit here in complete silence.
Yeah, let's have a moment of silence for the man who got shot. In the show, not a real man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was that. with the landing pad thing, they do still say, they say that they found a blasting cap and some scorching. And then they go back and cause trouble, and the belters say, you know, you're going to try to pin it on us, you know, and so forth.
Yeah.
But obviously, poker face for Chris and everything.
Yeah.
So we've got two theories as to what brought it down now.
It's actually very difficult because like, we don't want to. Is there anything we do want to. Anything we would want to say not in Chris's presence, we would also want to not say in the audience's presence. So.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
Don't want to spoil things for the audience.
Don't spoil things for people that are going to watch it in the future, watch the next episode or something. I can jump to something sort of slightly separate. I mean, it's important to the series-ish because it's an Amos relationship, but he gets very, very lucky. I really like her.
I like their relationship as well.
It's interesting relationship.
She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous, and their relationship is great. It's
so
funny.
So, Jess Salguino is.
I like it. Makes sense for Ramos. Lady. Ramos to be fucking with somebody who's just like very straightforward.
Yeah,
like it's just like, do you want to fuck? Yeah, let's fuck.
It's like, well, I don't want to spoil. I mean, there's nothing you can spoil. Something happens because obviously things happen in the Expanse and in a future episode where they're sort of opposed to each other on something because obviously he hates their boss. And he says, this movie not fucking anymore. And she's like, no. So it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, the relationship is great.
But Jess Salguino, the actress, is a very, very lovely woman.
I saw that sex scene coming a mile away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody knew it was.
But it's good. It's like they're both just straightforward people who are like, I want to fuck you. Oh, good. I also want to fuck you. Let's fuck. And I like that. the thing about this season being my least favorite, if I'm less enthusiastic about this, because I feel less enthusiastic about this season, I apologize for that. I'll be enthusiastic again next season.
Well, I mean, is this one of the seasons where you want to do like 2x2 or something like that?
No, I don't think it's necessarily going to be true for you two. I think it's a matter of taste. I don't think it's lower quality. I just think the type of story it's telling is less interesting.
It's a different type of story.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I get really invested in the Murtry thing because I really hate him, you know.
Murtry's a...
He's horrible.
Yeah.
He's very good at again.
Yeah, Burn Gorman is good at that kind of character. He's got
him in Game of Thrones.
There's a little small tragedy in there that in that I feel, and you get this sense when they're both going out to the bombsite. If Murtry was just like 20% less of a cunt,
Amos
would get on great. Yeah, it'd be great friends. And that almost like it doesn't almost happen, but there's moments where that could have happened and it doesn't because Murtry's a bellend.
Basically, yeah. Speaking of sexy times, going back a wee bit, Alex.
Alex
denied. He's like trying it on with that doctor, and then husband and daughter come in. You know, he's like,
I feel like we as viewers and the writers have just got like a Schadenfreude thing going on with Alex now. They just want to see him get humiliated. And she's beautiful as well. She's gorgeous.
She's really nice. Yeah.
And she's just like, oh yeah, this is my husband.
Yeah. Like, and Alex is like, we have an extra one for dinner. Says the husband. He's like, nah, it's all right. I'll just go off and have a...
What do you mean by dinner?
Yeah.
Also, they gave him a silly haircut.
Who
did they give a silly haircut?
Alex's haircut. I didn't even notice his haircut.
Well, he wears a hat most of the time.
Possibly because of the silly haircut,
yeah.
That's why you don't let Amos cut your hair. Although Amos's haircut is all right.
It's on point, yeah. Amos has usually got a sort of almost belly haircut, but a wee bit shorter than a belly would wear it, but sort of style-wise, it's like... You know, sort of swooshed across the middle of it. It's not just spiky.
Alex's haircut looks the same as previous seasons, doesn't it?
No, it's a bit shorter, I think.
Oh, is it shorter?
It's shorter on the sides, maybe.
Okay.
Ah, it's Alex. We don't care. We hate Alex. Nah. Poor Alex.
Well, Chris, you were saying the most interesting thing is the lightning spikes. Tell us about that.
I've written something down here that I can't understand.
So
I do that when I make.
Does Miller say that this was built by the builders, or does he just say this is something I want you to mess around with?
I
missed that. Sorry, I was too busy trying to work out what my note meant.
does Miller say that this was built? These lightning machines were built by the builders, or is it just something he's interested in, or is that teleological information?
I don't think it is. I think he wants to know what.
I don't think he explicitly, or I don't remember him explicitly saying it's built by the builders or whatever we want to call them. But I think that's made plain in the show. I think it's clear that he's working with technology he recognizes.
Oh yeah,
he has.
He's looked it up. I mean, that's what the very start was about. Yeah. Was him apparently looking through a sort of 3D database-y
thing.
Because if you look at that bit, again, you probably don't notice it the first time you watch it, but when you watch it again, you notice that there's like all these little like
veins.
Spirals and things coming out, and it's the 13 moons around the planet.
Mm.
So there's some sort of connections there. It's all.
I mean, this planet is unusual in that it's got 13 seemingly equally sized moons, equidistant
from the planet. But not crashing into each other either. It's
much like how things are arranged around the station when the station was pulling things to it.
That's true.
It was putting them all equidistant.
Good connection there. Yeah.
Oh. So could that be something to do with what these lightning machines do?
Well, if you've got 13 moons, all of equal size and all spaced out equally, that suggests that those moons are not necessarily natural to me.
Yeah. And also, well, they couldn't be. Not like that.
It would be...
The probabilities are like...
In the infinity of space, but yeah.
Yeah, no, even then, we're talking way beyond the numbers needed to do that. Because they would crash into each other in almost every... And, you know, there would be something slightly unstable in almost every mathematical instance of that.
But isn't it the case that our moon faces the Earth when it rotates as a matter of chance? It's only because of some weird cosmic connection that the moon is rotating.
Yeah, but that's just one thing that happened.
That's one thing. It's not 13.
It's not 13 moons.
Well, the other one is the moon
around the equator, perfect.
The moon on our planet, the moon and the sun being apparently the same size.
Yeah, because appears a quarter of the size in the sky, sort of thing, or whatever. Yeah.
So it could just be the case that. The reason it was chosen by the builders, by the ring station, all that.
Yeah. Well, we don't know because they estimate it to be over 1.4 billion years old or something. Yeah.
But then that's also on the basis that their solar system is the same age as ours.
He does qualify that with it. Yeah.
Which does seem to me to be like obviously basically impossible, right?
I think that line is in not to cause the audience to ask questions about that, but to in case any science nerds are like radiological dating would only work correctly if the planet was the same. I think it's plugging a science hole rather than necessarily.
All the information they need to get across is it's old.
Very
old.
Very old. It predates all the life on the planet.
Almost as old as Stonehenge, I think.
Almost as old as what?
Stonehenge.
Almost as old as that, yeah. So it predates all the life on the planet, and then Holden points out that the way the protomolecule reacted to life on the Earth solar system was to sort of tear it apart and whatever. So probably if there was any life before that, it's probably been destroyed in favour of the protomolecule again anyway. So the whole thing's...
But that also implies that once the protomolecule has done whatever it wants to do in a place, it leaves the life there alone, as seems to be the case in our solar system as well.
Yeah, because obviously everything else came after it. So they talk about there being larger life forms, some sort of reptile.
Well, unless the machine was shut down or taken out of commission deliberately, and then it's a ruin.
But it looks more sort of root grown across it, though, isn't it?
Well, it's one root for some reason.
One fucking huge.
I do love the exchange where you're Jim's like, you can't get rid of a single root, and Miller's like, roots didn't exist when we made this.
But we don't know what it does yet, right? Like, all we know is that it does lightning.
Does a lightning, yeah. Makes them shit themselves and does a lightning. Well, it shuts the door as well.
Yeah, it's not like a...
Miller actually said the door won't stay open forever. So I wonder if that was like... If that was connected and triggering the mechanism, shut the door, or if Miller, said the door's going to shut soon, do this and get out.
I'm interested in the conversation after this because he said no comas this time, promise. And it's like, but squishing walls.
Yeah. He doesn't mention that.
Didn't say anything about that. Or lightning strikes.
The other thing we find out from that whole section is that all the dead from Eros. Although they're not in control the way that the investigator is in control of his self, as it were, they're not in control, but he hears them all.
They're incorporated, which suggests that I forgot her name. Julie's in there as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't mention her, which is interesting.
I mean, personal, isn't it?
Yeah. And also, Julie and Miller don't know each other, do they? No.
He knows of. Well, they met in the Blue Falcon, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember they knew each other, sort of.
She was dead at this point.
Mm. Yeah, it's all. Yeah. And we've got the potential time mess up caused by the proto molecule thing that we discussed before. So, yeah, so he mentions that, you know, try having all them bouncing around your skull, you know. I mean, I've written the question, what the fuck did Holden do? Why did he try, after what happened before, why was he so quick to trust Miller as well? It's like, yeah, I'll cut that route for you.
Yeah, he kind of just goes, well, that's what we're here for.
Yeah,
which is a bit thin. Also,
I don't know.
There's
another film
reference to note in that scene as well, but I'll give you that in a second. I'll let you finish.
It's not Star Wars, is it?
No.
The trash compactor.
Is it Porky's?
No. Okay. No, don't wait for me. Say what you're going to say.
Oh, anyway,
that's why I said it and stopped.
It's. Miller and Holden kind of both are into this mystery, right? They both want to
both
know.
Want
yeah,
the answer.
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah. But at the same time, after what happened previously and how many people died.
I think you've got to remember Miller's kind of on the inside now. This thing's been in its brain and showed him a vision, and I think he feels a little bit like, not sympathetic to in an emotional sense, but like he's part of it now. He wants to know what happened. He's been given a, you know... He's somewhat seeing it from the proto-molecule's point of view, because he's seeing
like Holden,
it from the proto-molecule's point of
Holden's
view.
Holden's kind of like... Yeah, I suppose Holden's sort of between two worlds, as it were.
Mm.
He's partly in that world of the investigator and partly, you know, in his normal world, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would go maybe even a bit further and say he might as well just be proto-molecule man at this point. Like,
Who are we talking about at the moment? Holden or Miller?
Holden.
Right, okay, yeah, okay.
Well, but he's not infected or anything.
Well, mentally, kind of.
No, it's not, because no, well, Miller explains that he's just reaching in and manipulating his brain. He's not.
No. When he was shown the vision, I think that brought him in, like, psychologically. Because we know he's a very empathetic person.
Right, okay, yeah.
And so when he's shown the vision, and I mean, you get the impression that when he was shown that vision, he was in that vision for longer than... He was out for, if you saw it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, he experienced more. Yeah.
More
so
to
I think
it.
He's. I think he's. In
I've just
some
worked
sense...
out what a note meant. I've just realised if I was being smarter and scientific, I would have got it.
But also, like, it's a bit like even Miller, when he was a human in on series and stuff, he would, you know, he was still part of the proto-molecule's operation.
Hmm.
So Miller is sort of the same way. Miller's like, the traveler or the
investigator.
No, yeah, or Miller's the investigator, Holden. But Holden is the transporter?
Along those lines, isn't it? Yeah.
And now Miller's like the hands.
Not
Miller,
yeah.
Holden's
the
hands.
Like the hands, yeah.
Yeah.
So what he needed was his hands.
I think they're sort of I don't want to say they're one and the same, but they're both, they're like, you know, Miller, Holden.
There's a connection between the two of them for sure. Just when you were talking about the door closing, it was all very last second and he pulls them out.
Indiana Jones.
Yep. But do you know why? Yeah, there's two reasons for that though. One is
the closing door and the hat.
The hat, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the hat is the other thing, yeah. Although it swaps from it's not his hat, it's because at first I thought that was a mistake, because he kind of looks a bit like, oh, is that...
Yeah,
but
yeah, then it looks he gives like a mistake, him a, yeah.
Maybe it was in the shooting, and they decided when he gets out to make it, you know, part of it as well, because it was doubling down on the Indiana Jones reference.
There is something in that scene that bothers me every time, and it's not important, it's very tiny, but why are they using a fucking blowtorch to cut through a dry old root?
As opposed
guess
to...
That's all they got.
That's the least appropriate. Do they have a fucking saw? Like that's just going to... like. It doesn't in the show, but that would just set fucking fire to the thing. There'd be smoke in the... Like, you'd be choking. It'd be awful.
Maybe. Yeah.
It's probably like a space welding.
Space welder,
I'll take space welding. Space
thing, it's like
a laser rather than a...
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, something like lightning.
I get what you're saying, but yeah. I just
some sort of weather event.
Space version.
Like, you know, an axe or a saw or something seems more appropriate in that situation.
Like a knife, whittle it down.
The problem with that is it could take a while, you know, it's quite a tough route. You know?
And also, it's not wood, you know, it might be a denser root, it might be like mahogany.
It didn't look it, it looked quite fibrous and quite easy to cut through to me. Using the worst.
No, it didn't look. It looked fibrous.
It looked
kind of
almost like desiccated to me.
Maybe. Nah, I don't know. Mm. I'm not convinced because I was going to say something, but ignore that. you'll see why. Teleological things. Mm. I'm loving that word now. I'm glad we've got it.
It's a good word. It's a useful word.
It's a good word. Yeah. It's the word. We're probably misusing it now. little notes. Yes, my note that I didn't understand. Naomi not taking to G. No, G is gravity.
Yeah.
I've written it down, everything in capitals, so I got it wrong. But, so that's obviously going to be a thing. And it's a bit of a disappointment after all the efforts she made. Because we thought, I mean, I thought this at the first time as well, and presumably you guys, or Chris particularly, would have thought it was to allow Naomi to get involved on the planetary stuff more.
Yeah.
But obviously it's not. It's, you know, it's written. It's basically written back out right away that she can't actually handle it.
The writers do seem to like just punishing Naomi.
They punish everybody, but in various ways. But Naomi, Naomi has a hard time generally. But she's not taken to the gravity, and Alex knows. He's the only one that knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's not something she's going to be able to hide forever, so...
Can she not just take it easy? Just take a little longer for her heart to get up to strength?
She's gonna have a heart attack if she keeps going.
I think what Alex is saying is like it's not the drugs would take more time. Like they literally, your heart is not strong enough.
Yeah,
like it's not gonna
that's
happen.
But you get a stronger heart the more it works, though.
Yeah,
right?
But within reason, though, you can't. If you push it too hard from where it starts, then no. I mean, it might take a long time.
Yeah, but have you seen like Britain's Fattest Man?
if you gave him the heart of a mouse and now said like, okay, train up, he'd just die.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
remember
but
she's
I think...
not. She's not just human. She's a human from a very different environment. She's generations of change in her from an environment. So, one more thing. Is this the first time, or was it last episode? No, have they mentioned him before? Can't remember anyway, but is Marco Inaros, is this the first time he's been mentioned?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Chris?
Who's this?
Oh, well, he's mentioned, he's suspected to be the person that was the pirate.
Who shot the Sojourner.
I think so. Yeah.
Right.
They said something about
his. And they want to try and catch him, basically, because
they said something about his treatment of Naomi. Yep. So they've connected. Marco is clearly connected to Naomi. Yeah,
Is Naomi? Is it Naomi's one? The one who took Naomi's kid from her.
That's possibly the connection we're making at the moment.
Because she says charming, charismatic. You know, like he is generally referred to as charismatic and ruthless, etc. Yeah. You know, it's. So I'm guessing that's a very bad poker face that you've just given me.
Yeah, it's not.
Mine's was great.
I think at this point in the show, it's not obvious watching it first time, but the pieces are all there. They've told you without.
And they've given you his name and drummer's
reaction. I've got to be honest, right? Like with this series as it begins, the only thing I care about is the builders and the Miller stuff. Everything else. Just like crack on with it. I don't care. Like it's just now. Don't get me wrong. Maybe I can get. You know. Maybe there'll be something that brings.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, this season is very much about. That's really kind of the only really interesting thing in this season.
Mm.
Is what the fuck is this shit doing on the planet? Like the rest is a bit. It's set up-y again. It's putting pieces in place, ready for what's coming after. I think.
Mm.
You guys hear that noise?
Yeah. Somebody been shot? Was there a billionaire?
No, Peanut's not moved, so I don't know what it is. he just didn't give a shit, so it was obviously something.
Is it your chair going down?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it is, but maybe it was an air bubble
in the gaffer tape.
Gaffer tape, yeah.
Have you tried Gorilla Tape?
It's just a different brand.
Well, sort of. It's you, but yeah, no, Gorilla Tape. You know Gorilla Glue?
Yeah, and Gorilla Glass, and yeah, it's a branded thing. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Oh, is Gorilla Glass made by the same people that do Gorilla Glue?
I think so. Yeah, I assume so.
They just do tough stuff. Is that their brand?
I'm guessing so, but I mean, it's like, you know, Tonka Toys. You know, it's like. Are Tonka toys really that much tougher than other toys? I don't think so.
I don't know, but the people.
Is that sorry, Chris? Was that? Do you know what a Tonka toy is?
I've heard the name.
Ah, right, yeah. But I was just thinking. Wait a minute, that's maybe a bit old for Chris. Do you know what a Tonka toy is, Drew? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. So I thought you were still on the cusp of that.
Wait a minute.
I've just realised something. Drew, you're 5 years younger than me. Is that right?
Sounds about right.
Oh, no, only four.
I'm 75.
75. Ah, and I see, that was the end of 71. So you're actually a little bit older than my brother. Chris, you're...
88.
Oh, you don't look it.
Wait a second. Yes, Chris, you're the same age. There's roughly the same gap between me and Chris as there is between me and my youngest brother. And me and Drew, as there is between me and my oldest younger brother. Yeah. That's weird. It never occurred to me before, but just...
We should have sex, then.
No.
Kebab time.
No, okay, you don't do that anymore. Okay.
What was that, Chris? What did you say?
Sorry, that was just a gut. That was just an instinct.
What did you say? What did he say?
I just went, no.
Oh, my God. No. You're turning us down without even thinking about it.
Yeah, sorry.
That's horrible.
What's wrong with me, Chris? Let's have it out on the show.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Why are you not sexually attracted to Drew?
Yeah.
The hairy man with no teeth and...
The piss wall. It's the piss wall. We all know it's the piss wall.
The piss wall.
Well, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. Bye.
What do you think the flag is covering?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah,
people say, oh, the flag isn't great. Trust me, what's behind it is
could
worse.
Be even worse. Yeah, yeah.
One thing that is kind of interesting, bullets are currency, so is it a bartering system?
Yeah. Bullets are worth something to the belters because they don't have the equipment to presumably the chemicals, because I'd imagine they've got the ability to get the metals, but obviously the thing is they were a refugee ship with only some of the supplies and things they needed as well, because it was a little flotilla of ships and some of them didn't make it. So
I do like Amos's new girlfriend when she first comes into the bar, a little bit antagonistic, and she just drinks his drink. I like that. It's like my kind of woman. I like that a lot.
Yeah, Chandra, I think is the name of the character, is it? Yeah, Chandra Wei. Yeah. Wei.
Yeah. He's quite keen to see out under the stars, again. Isn't he?
Yeah, he's excited. He seems excited, like almost like childish about it in a cool way.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, I don't know what the temperature's like there, but like it'd be kind of cool.
It would be lovely, yeah. And I mean, he's been living on a spaceship for the last, we don't know, like what, 10 years or something. So it makes sense.
Yeah,
he wants
to sleep outside. Yeah.
Because
see the stars, what have you? Because he says some of it, you know, it's quite like Earth. Apart from more moons and
more moons.
But the point is, of course, where he comes from on Earth is a bit grotty, so it's not even like it's like, you know, I mean, we see some trees in the distance and stuff, but we're obviously not in the middle of a garden spot on the planet where we are. You know. Well, there's a whole section that we've yet to cover, but do you want to talk about why Chris is rejecting you sexually first?
No, I'm over. I'm over that now. Let bygones be bygones.
I just don't want to make things weird on the podcast. Really, it's, you don't shit where you eat, as Amos says.
As Amos says.
Oh no, I'm not into that. Just fucking not. No shit involved. Unless you want it.
There's no scatological thing. You know. Yeah, whatever you think. Yeah.
So the Bobby bit.
Well, actually, before we go there, because that's the big chunk that's left. Apart from a little bit at the end. Just want to go back briefly to Ashford and Drummer. Mm-hmm. What can you tell who's actually in charge there? Is it Drummer that's in charge?
I
thought so. I was just making sure. She's in charge, but I mean, Ashford seems a lot more amenable to be in the second in command, though, doesn't he?
Mm.
Than he was under the previous.
Well, I think he kind of realised maybe I don't have the temperament for this kind of work.
Maybe
he's a bit of a Riker.
Bit of a hothead in places, but they seem to have a better relationship now than they did, which is quite interesting considering he basically tried to kill her.
Gregory, yeah, just shot him.
Sorry, Chris.
He made it into a Gregory thumbnail, though.
He shot Gregory on the bridge.
That's true, yeah. Pretty butterfly. That's...
Yeah. I don't know why I liked him. I just thought he just seems great.
Who, Ashford?
No, Gregory.
Gregory.
I think it's just it's that kind of gut reaction you have to cat. Like, you know, that I had several characters in the opposite direction, but you just have a gut reaction.
You like
to a character.
You don't like something, I was actually thinking, although this is making work for myself, and my head's got loads of ideas, but my real life, as you probably know, is, and I think you've read my update, Chris. Yeah.
I read about 70% of the way through your update before coming online. I should have read the whole thing.
Oh, right, that's okay. Well, like, you read it if you want. You got a second? It's not busy. It's only like a paragraph. It's not. But I mean, without getting into great detail, I mean, everybody's heard about Mum anyway. And she's a fighter. Mm. She's not giving up, but she's basically the treatment is worse than the illness at this point. Mm. So, but the thing I wanted to mention, I don't want to get all heavy and depressed about it. So, the thing I wanted to mention though is, in the future, probably sometime this year, I'll have a studio again. I'll have a separate room because we're going to be moved. Basically, what she wants to do is move to either a house with an annex or two houses near each other or something like that, so that I can basically look after Alan. Not really her; it's to look after Alan.
Yeah,
and so I'm getting a bigger house out of this, which is the fun part if you don't think about all the extremely depressing bits to go with it. It's a good bit. So I'm going to have like a studio, I'll do more stuff. But what I was going to say is one of the ideas that popped into my head recently as well, not necessarily directly connected to that in any way, but I think...
Excuse me a minute, Hamish. Drew, can you breathe a little bit harder?
You're supposed to tell me and it's supposed to cancel it. Discord doesn't fucking do this.
I love that we are all sarcastic.
Is it better at this distance?
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love that we're all sarcastic, passive aggressive twats. it kind of, you know, it's got me in trouble with other people, but it makes for something here. The thing I was thinking is making a best of for each of the series of the Space Virgins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like a little highlight video. Not mentioning the Expanse at all. Just literally the best of...
What you're saying is we're going to do a clip show.
Oh, that's a bad thing.
To be honest, there is absolute gold in this series that's buried amongst this Expanse stuff.
All this Expanse nonsense. I mean, we don't mark this show as not safe for work, but it really is. I'm surprised. I don't know if I've not had any complaints from admins of other servers saying like, you know, you should have this under because there is a filter option. But I feel like it would make people, I don't know, I feel like it kind of gives a false impression and people are expecting to see tits or something, or different cultures, people of different cultures are going to go,
to avoid disappointment at the start of each episode, we could get them out.
Yeah, that's true.
See, to me, like, NSFW always comes down to sex. Like,
I have no respect for NSFW. If you're looking at the broader web at work, it's fucking on you.
Well, yeah, that's the other point.
You take responsibility for that.
The literal interpretation of it, though, rather than the.
I know you're thinking more
of a general
bourgeois American.
Don't watch this in front of your kids if you want them to not grow up.
We should just not allow Americans to watch it. Like, they're the only ones.
Not NSFA.
Not safe for anybody.
Americans.
No, anyone. It should be not safe for anyone. What was I saying? Drummer and... Without being too spoilery about it, it's obvious that at this point that there's no connection that we can see. You know, like in the first series and a half, there was like all of the sort of facts, all of the story segments came together, you know, and everybody met each other and everything. It's obvious that everybody's just having a separate story in this series. So you got there's a connection between Avasarala and the Rossinanti crew, in as much as they're reporting back to her, as are the RCE people. But she's got her own things going on. You know, is it this episode where... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's this episode where Nancy Gao resigns.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's that about? You know, what's her game, you know? So there's obviously going to be... You know, I did say that the first episode, it seemed like she was going to be more of an antagonist for Avasarala again.
She's just gone. Oh.
Eh?
I liked her.
No, she's not gone. She's just resigned from that position.
Not... Okay.
Sorry, that's a wee bit of a... I should have poker-faced it a wee bit, but I didn't want to upset you. I've upset you so many times on the show. No, Nancy Gow's not gone. She's just left that position. So more to come, as they say.
Good. Yeah, because I would have thought that would be a really weird like thing where she's in it for a scene and then they make a big thing of her resignation.
Yeah, that's...
Like,
yeah,
if it was just this...
Don't feel too bad about saying it. She's not gone. Right, well, we've got...
Hang on, before you go on, for the clip show...
I thought you didn't want the clip show because it's a clip show.
Did that clip show in the first season of Star Trek The Next Generation?
And they never did it again, yeah.
And they frame it like...
I was going to frame this as a best of separately from the series. I wasn't.
They frame it like Riker gets poisoned or something and goes into a coma.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to rip it and they keep cutting to that storyline. But then you get to see what Riker's dreaming about, and he's just dreaming about things that happened on the show. So it's just... It's like a freight, and I think we should do something like that. Chris falls over and bangs his head, and he's like dreaming about it. You know what I mean?
So we get Chris with some tomato sauce and a bandage around his head. So we need to write another script.
Yes.
Including all the normal scripts that we write.
Give some overtime to the
like
script writers.
This script here. Now.
I write mine on my drinking apparatus.
Ah, that's quite good, Jay. You can... Yeah, I just scattered it about so that I can sort of pick things up, you know.
Right, actually, yeah, so... I heard about this the other day. You know in Lord of the Rings where Sean Bean goes, one does not simply walk into Mordor?
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently they walk into Mordor.
And then they walk into Mordor. Apparently the script for that scene was on his knee. It was like taped on his knee. And... And once you see the scene, you can't unsee it.
Can he,
as an actor, not remember like four lines?
Oh, the scene was written the night before.
Still, that's not unusual.
There's probably more lines than
There's more lines than just that line. That's just a famous line.
No, but you get like an hour between like. Can he not just like read? Okay, right. I'll say that.
Sean
he's a fucking
Bean.
Actor.
It's Sean
your
Bean,
job,
isn't it? You know.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
And he's old. Like we all know how our memory gets when we're old. My memory
I'm the
is
oldest,
shocking.
So yeah, definitely.
Are you?
I was going to say, on a separate issue in the same film, or is it the second? Might be the second film. It's the second film. It's Two Towers. Where Legolas, Gimli, and Aragorn are tracking down the two hobbits, the other two hobbits.
The CSI thing.
Yeah, that's it. And he kicks like a helmet or something on the ground. You know the bit I mean? He gets angry. Aragorn gets angry and because he thinks they're dead. Well, he broke his foot on that helmet in the scene.
Yeah,
and kept
I think
going.
I've done that before. Yeah.
It's like,
Terrible fucking films. Don't watch them.
Never seen them.
We won't be doing.
Wow. I'm all right with them. The first it's diminishing returns. The first one's the best one, and then it kind of, you know.
I got about an hour into the first one and then fell asleep and didn't come back to it.
Well, it depends what you. I grew up with Lord of the Rings as a as a book and everything.
It's the films are marginally better than the books. I'll say that much.
Well, come on, all the hobbit, all the dwarves are Scottish and stuff. You know, it's excellent.
That's why I hate it.
Okay, so we have got one other big chunko story. Bobby.
Can I just? Bobby. I know this isn't yet, but when Avicerella says to Bobby, if they don't see how glorious you are, they don't deserve you.
Somewhere like, on here. Yeah.
That's, they're in love. Not, I don't mean romantic love, but there's love there, and I love.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
She admires Bobby.
She really likes Bobby. Well, it's a strong woman, isn't it? She's got a thing for strong women.
I got to be honest with Bobby, right? I know she's very proud, but I totally would have taken the job for Avis.
In a second, yeah.
Yeah,
look,
yeah.
I'm mad at you, but I will totally take this opportunity.
It's a patriotism, right? She still feels like she needs to serve Mars and maybe even atone, I think, even though I don't think she's done anything wrong, but I think there's a sense.
Yeah, it's a weird situation that she's in.
She's staying out of spite.
And
maybe, yeah.
Is it
working?
Is it? No, it's. Oh, I was going to say something, but I don't think it happens to the next episode. So... yeah. Because there's a lot more. I mean, this is what her story is about, really. Bobby's story is about her connection to Mars this series, so you know,
yeah,
that's what we're seeing already.
But she does also, when she's beating up the drug den people, she also brings back her signature move of "What kill my team?" which I love that coming back. That's the Bobby. If she was like a Mortal Kombat character, that would be her
finishing
second movie. Character, or whatever.
Well, I've written here Bobby lost. That's my notice about Bobby. Lost.
Yeah, she is lost.
No, she's lost.
Oh, she's lost. I see.
Not
right.
She lost the fight. No, she didn't lose the fight. She kicked her arse.
She actually beat the fuck out of
me. I've got that as well. Drug lab, Bobby kicks arse. And I've also got Avicerella, glorious. That's my three notes on this. But obviously there's more to speak about than just those three little notes. So the girlfriend turns out to be somehow involved with some sort of drug thing. And not that into the whatever his name is, the fucking kid that we hate anyway. what's his name? I've forgotten already.
He's the opposite Junior. Of Grigori.
Call him Junior.
We just gut reaction, can't stand him.
Yeah, he's like, if you think about other young characters that have been in the show, there's been a few, you know, they've had May, and obviously the big one is Diogo. And Diogo's a twat, you know, he's a kid, he's a twat, but he's, like, somehow likeable as well. Mm. Whereas this kid's just a twat, and,
Interesting that we all agree on this one as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's, like, he's doing crime, and when you do crime, you need nerve, and he has no nerve.
Yeah, but, no, but we're even in the last episode where we're talking, we didn't like him, you know? Or did you like him the first episode?
No, I didn't like
him. Yeah, well, see, there you go. He's a twat. I see Drew was reading something because his face was lit up for a minute.
I'm checking something.
I was just going to try and find his name.
I'm trying to find the
girlfriend's Lily.
Yes.
And he is.
She seems alright
Scotty?
Still. I'm like Scotty? She's a bit nasty, but I like her.
I like her very much. Like, she's not a nice person, but I enjoy her a great deal. I think she's and also. Hang on.
Yeah, I mean, we can like people that are, you know, not necessarily like that we would like in real life, but we can like them as a character.
Pretty Patel.
I also, she's very attractive.
That's a different kind of thing.
Kim Jong Un's sister.
She's also very attractive.
I'm just trying to find. Oh no, it's not Scott. Like he's somebody else. Oh, there's too many people in this episode. It's confusing me now. Grizzled Belter.
Grizzled belt.
MCRN officer, tiny crew member. David Draper, that's it. David. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he's and also
if the actor happens to be watching,
we have nothing against you personally.
No.
But the character was a twat. Also the doctor we were talking earlier about Alex getting denied. The daughter her name is Felicia. Not Felicia. Felicia. It's like really quite jarring as a name, that one. But then they do that a lot because Miller's first name is Josephus. It's Joe Miller, but it's Josephus.
Kind of biblical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds it, yeah.
As is James.
Yeah.
That's true. As is Paul. As is Andrew.
As is Christopher.
As is Christopher, yeah. Anywho, what were we talking about? Yeah, Bobby kicking arse. Yeah, so there's, it's, I mean, what is it? He says that it's some sort of focus drug, doesn't he, David? That's what he says. It's just a focus drug for the kids or something, you know, for school. You know, it's like, is it though? You know, let's be honest, is it though?
I mean, it's made out of viscous orange slop.
We see that when the guy gets knocked
space ketamine.
Space ketamine. Yeah, but she really. Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing, right? Like, when it comes to these kind of things, the devil's totally in the detail, right? Like, if you're just like a dog's body making the drugs, right? Assistant drugs maker. I don't know. That's pretty low down on the criminal ladder of things, right?
What do you mean? Should we be. Wait, who are you talking about? David?
David, yeah.
And what are you saying? What's the consequence of what you're saying? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's like he's only.
We don't like him anyway. This isn't.
So we don't like him. We don't like him anyway, right? But like, he's bottom rung of the drugs business, right? He just carries the tray, as far as all we can see.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't put him in a huge amount of danger, right? Does it? I don't know.
You mean
he's in the actual lab? It's not like he's, you know.
Are you saying not in danger in the situation he's in, or not in danger after what Bobby does?
No, not in danger in the situation he was in.
Yeah, I think Bobby just doesn't want him mixed up with. Bobby's very sort of straight laced in that regard. I think, you know, that's illegal. You know,
and also realizes the girlfriend is just his girlfriend for that as well. She realized that right away.
I'd take that. I'd make drugs for her.
Yeah, but probably depends. Anyway.
Quality, like, is it a quality?
Did you see the quality of the drugs?
Yeah, like you know, I wouldn't want to just be like doing some sort of, you know, dust making dusty coke or whatever. Like, you want to do,
I don't quality, know anything about all this stuff. So I don't know
quality gear,
like, quality, yeah, quality gear. Merchandise. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know,
quality gear, mate.
But you know, the point is that Bobby just gets fed up with the whole thing and just goes, "Ah, fuck this!" Throws David down out the way and kicks the shit out of the two of them.
It seems like a very nice lab. Like, it seems like things are organized, clean.
It looks very Deus Ex.
Yeah, even cleaner than Deus Ex, really.
So it's clean. That makes it okay. It doesn't matter they're making or where they're selling it, who they're selling it to. It's done cleanly.
Well, David's not selling it. He's just making it.
We don't know that.
He's making it to be sold.
Oh my god, he's so flaccid. Of course he's making it, not selling it.
It's obviously going to be sold.
I mean, in terms of the morality of it, I think it depends what this drug does to people. If it, you know, it's
It
has no side effects and it just makes people feel good, then no problem. But if it's poor people's only escape from a shitty life,
which is what the CIA did to loads of people and stuff.
Doing with the heroin.
So, like I say, devil's in the detail, right? Like, if he's just doing space weed, or
to be honest, we don't know. So I'll give you that. But I still don't quite get where you're going with that, though. Talking about how much blame to give David, or
did Bobby do the right thing? Because she might have just fucked up a very, like, if he was doing space coke, for example, and Bobby came in and go do all the kung fu shit, like, she's just fucking killed them all.
I mean, right? depends on the scale of the criminal organization. It might be small time, it might be big time,
Think Bobby gives a shit about anyone? She's basically faced off against the most powerful man in the solar system already.
And the proton molecule.
And the proton molecule, yeah. You know, she's not the type to sort of think some local gangster is a big problem. I wouldn't have thought, you know. Although, you know, you never know.
When you leave the Martian Marines, do you get to keep your suit?
the combat suit.
You've got to understand that, like, the stuff she's been doing in the suit, like, that doesn't count, really, does it? She's in a suit. Like, Diogo was in power armor and he was pretty formidable, right?
No, he was shit.
Yeah, he was crap with it. He could just keep moving towards somebody. That was all he could do, you know.
Hey, that's enough. Diogo could beat up a bunch of drug dealers in that suit.
Yeah, but Bobby doesn't need the suit.
But she can do it without the suit. Yeah. So what can she do with the suit?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I don't know. She could
one punch Mars and destroy it.
I think you might be overestimating the power of the suit there.
Don't you be talking shit about
or Mars. Underestimating the size and mass of Mars.
I mean, to be fair, I'm kind of surprised they don't have robot versions of that suit.
What do you mean robot? Oh, like unmanned.
Yeah, like I reckon, like even here on Earth today, right, in the more advanced bits of warfare. No, we wouldn't want that, but like we're generally anti-war on this podcast as a broad rule of thumb.
Holocaust aside.
Holocaust aside.
Yeah. But like there's a lot of like drone stuff nowadays. Ooh, and
are you talking about a suit with a remote human pilot?
Yeah, okay. Like a remote human pilot. Like
I think that's the thing with a lot of space things. I think that would be far less fun to watch, I think, is what it ultimately... It's like when space things have fighters. Fighters don't really make any sense in a space thing.
Yeah. Maybe lag.
See,
maybe
I kind of disagree with this thing about fighters in space.
You really?
Yeah, I think the show that does it... I mean, Star Wars-wise, yeah, that shows you how much of a... they have to actually shoehorn in an explanation to make single fighters.
Star Wars is not a serious... Yeah, it's not a serious.
But Battlestar Galactica, I think it's perfectly valid the way they
do it. What makes it valid in Battlestar?
Because they have the fighters doing a different role to the main ship. Well, they do patrols and they go out and they come back and they're patrol ships as well as combat ships. They have,
but then when the ability to
defend the ship against missiles.
When a Base Star turns up and a Battle Star turns, like they send the fighters out to pointlessly shoot each other for no benefit, for no gain.
Well, it's perimeter protection thing.
I don't think that matters when you've got big like railgun shots and nukes and. But I will say, I think a lot of this is technologically determined, like as to what, like there may be a technology in the future that we can't imagine that makes fighters relevant again.
Yeah, I mean, also fighters can go down to the planets and stuff. The Battlestar can't.
Sure, but then that's not like when you say with a patrol, that's not really a fighter anymore. Yeah. That's a patrol, that's a reconnaissance ship.
They use them as bombers. Yeah, I mean, they use them for a lot of different things. That's what I'm saying about Battlestar Galactica, is they use them for a lot of different things. They're not just...
I mean, the only role really for fighters in modern Earth warfare, I mean, it depends who you're fighting against, but generally, as I understand it, the fighters go and kill all the enemy's fighters, and then you've got air superiority, and you start bombing stuff and invading.
Yeah, well, there is something to that as well. Yeah.
But like two ships versus ships,
it's got weaker as an analogy as time's gone on, because nowadays, as you've pointed out, a ship can be taken out by a missile from a long distance. But then again, fighters can probably chase that down easier than some sort of. Well, you know, PDC maybe... can only work once. Only gets one chance, a PDC.
That's it, you have to further away.
If you've got fighters
that's not really a fighter at that point, but yeah. I mean,
I'm calling them fighters because that's what we're talking about. If two
destroyers or battleships back in the day were squaring up to fight each other, they don't send out like 100 dinghies to start shooting.
Yeah, it makes sense. But there
might be a lot more Iron Dome type defenses as well that like a person.
Yeah.
Could probably get past, but a machine could stop another machine or something like that.
I don't know about that, because a missile is going to be more maneuverable and faster than a... I don't know. I mean, it's things we neither really particularly care about nor necessarily know much about.
Yeah, maybe.
And also, hacking is probably the weapon of choice in a lot of cases, isn't it?
Well, if you look at how it worked in Battlestar, in The Expanse, you know, the last series, the missile platform was able to get a shot off.
Mm-hmm.
Earth took down a lot of them but missed one. You know, that was a fixed position thing, whereas knowing it's coming and having some sort of mobile defense platform might have helped. But again, we're getting a bit hand wavy and sci-fi for no good reason, really.
Yeah, but it's more fun to watch Bobby in a suit than it is to watch Bobby controlling a suit remotely, which is why it's in the show, for sure.
Yeah. And they do have drones in the show quite a lot of the time. The Martian Marines have drones that they use and scan things with them. And the Rosnanti's armed with 3 drones at all times, who are named after... Oh, God, what are they named after? As you were, I'll look this up.
Technically, 4 drones if you count Alex.
Do they replace their drones when they get... Has a drone from the Rosnanti got blown up or broken?
I don't think it did.
I think
it did at some point.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
The Anubis or something? Did they lose the one on the Anubis? Did that get out?
I thought they got them all back.
Hmm.
I imagine maybe they did it. Off the shelf replaced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Even like the Houthis.
Oh, sorry. Just to go back a little bit, actually, to the, you know, the metal discussion we had on the magnetism. When Avicerella takes the pen out of the air and she puts it down on the desk, like, that would only make sense if it was magnetized to the desk.
No, it would stop when she put it against the desk, as long as she pushed it down the way. A little bit, a tiny bit, you know, not like shoved it, you know.
If there's no gravity and no thrust, things will just stay where they are unless...
So all she did was put it back in.
So there's all kinds of like micro-inertias.
That's true, yeah. Maybe you've got a point there, actually. Maybe that's how the pen got loose in the first place.
Yeah.
Because the ship is manoeuvring a lot.
At this point, especially if you're a fancy, you know, if you're like fancy, then you'll have stuff that's normally magnetized that you can just put down or velcroed or whatever.
Just bank pens with a string.
Yep, that's the best way to do it.
I mean, probably, like this, yeah. You know.
They've got 6 point defense cannons, 40mm point defense cannons. That's quite big caliber. 2 torpedo launchers and 20 torpedoes in total. And as of Series 4, they've got a railgun, keel-mounted, and a landing gear, and carbon silicate lace plating is the other upgrade they got. Now where's this? Oh, doesn't mention the. Ah, there we go. Reconnaissance drones. Now, you two are probably not musical enough to get this, but I'll give you a chance. There are 4 on the console of the ship, but there's 3 of them, and they're named after members of a band. Given that what's happened in this show before, can you? I was going to say, can you give me the names, but I bet you can't. But I bet you can at least name the band.
UFO.
No.
Parliament.
No, we've talked about them in this show already.
NWA.
No. Okay, I give up. You guys. they're called. Let's see if this.
No. Wait. Give us the band and see if we can guess
the
that.
Specials.
No,
that was early. That was Left 4 Dead.
That was Left 4 Dead. Oh. Well, I don't think you'll get the names. If I give you the names, you might get the band.
Oh, try it. Yeah, okay.
Let's go try that way around. Pert, Lee, and Lifeson are what the drones are called.
Oh, Rush.
That's it, yeah.
I only know that from the Trailer Park Boys.
My next guess was going to be Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, the 3 drones.
No, but we've talked about Rush before. They've referenced Rush in the show.
Rush are like a nerd band, aren't they? They're a band that's associated with nerds.
Prog band from...
I don't mean that... derisively.
I know what you're saying. But yeah, they have got 4 reconnaissance drones, but 3 of them are called Pert, Lee, and Lyson. And it's, I think it must be on a platform. I think, sorry, they're just talking about crew members, past, present, and temporary, and Monica Stewart came up again. I need a dark-haired Mediterranean woman in my life.
We're awash with them this season. We got Belter hospital
Doctor
lady.
Women, yeah.
We've got she's Belter nice. Amos lady.
Mm. No, that's an Earth.
She's
Earth
an
Earth Amos lady.
Actually, yeah.
So I don't know why I said Belter. Yeah, quite right. Yeah, we got Martian Bobby's nephew's girlfriend lady. I mean, she's dyed grey hair, but by her coloration, I would imagine her hair is dark.
Yeah, but she's not.
But she's beautiful.
She's got blue eyes and stuff, though. I suspect.
Is she really?
I suspect so. And Felicia, although... Right, this... Oh, God. No. Before I get accused of any sort of pedo stuff, she's older than she looks... Than she's in her 30s.
I did check she's in her 30s.
She's older than the character, and also she's deliberately made to look very, very young. But her sister, or is it her cousin? Her sister or cousin, one of the two, is stunning. I mean, she's a nice-looking lass, but... Her sister or cousin or whatever. Yeah. No, not her. The other one. The one that plays the daughter that Alex's family thing.
Oh.
Yeah, I know she's older, yeah.
Mm. Well, hang on a minute. Alex, the daughter of the family, is 30-something.
No.
No, I'm talking about Bobby's nephew's girlfriend.
Ah, right.
Okay. No. I'm talking about Kyla Madeira.
Who's that? Who are you talking about then?
She's the one that plays the daughter that comes, you know, the husband and daughter come in.
She's not that old.
But her sister.
No, when I was talking about one being hot, it wasn't her, to be clear.
No, I didn't think you were, but what I was going to say is we're talking about Mediterranean looking women. She's another Mediterranean looking one. But she's she's probably 20-ish or something, I don't know. It's her younger sister. Kiana. Kiana's her younger sister?
Uh-oh.
That seems unlikely, because she does not look younger. Okay. Maybe I'm on shaky ground here. Hang on.
Oh, dear. Is this the final episode of Space?
Yeah, we're going to get cancelled.
You can jitsy from prison. What's her name? What's Garrett's name? Kiana.
I mean, she's married and everything, so it's not like, you know.
Oh, right, that's fine then, isn't it?
She's not. I don't know when she. I mean, but she's the younger one. Kiana, that seems unlikely. I think I've misread something there. But Kiana's the older sister, Epa, who I thought was the older sister. And she looks a bit like. She looks quite a lot like her, but she's very pretty. But Kyla, Kyla, is the one from this. I'm now getting slightly hot under the collar and
oh dear me,
for what I've said. Yeah, it seems like one links to the other wherever you look. It's weird.
There's definitely a baby. You can go, oh, it's a beautiful baby, gorgeous, but you probably say that up to about 6 or 7, and then.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. There's a point where you start to be on shaky ground. You're like, oh, I'm not saying anything. You know.
That's why you've got to play it safe like me and just tell everyone their babies are ugly.
I mean, babies are fucking ugly.
They look like Phil Mitchell, don't they?
they look like overinflated.
Anyway,
maggots.
Felcia, who we were talking about, is meant to be 15 or something, I think, in the show. And you've got to remember that this was also series 4 was what, 6 years ago or something as well. 2018, 2019, so 6 years. So even if she was 15 at the time, she's now 21. But then that makes her younger sister. How her younger? She must be way older. She must be because her younger sister and she's married and she's been in TV and films for years and years, you know.
You've got to stop digging, Hamish, at this point.
Take the shovel away from Hamish.
Anyway.
I didn't think that's why we'd get cancelled.
Okay, so Mercury killed a belter.
Yes, that's the last note I've got here. He basically, I mean, it's murder. No matter what justification he tries to give himself in that little line that he says, oh, no, that was a threat. He just, you know, he straight up murders that guy.
Yeah.
That was a little bit like, quite Weasley, wasn't it? That was like...
Yes. Because the way he tries to justify it is, oh, no, that was an actual threat sort of thing, bang. But it's also got, it's got a very, this whole story section has got a bit of a Wild West feel to it anyway, hasn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, well, they talk about the new gold rush and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So it's actually what's kind of interesting is that like Alex, like it was weird seeing Alex or like so many people on the show, or not so many people on the show, someone on the show wearing a hat because like
keeps obviously, your head.
Well, it, on a planet, yes. Like it's always
wore a hat, though.
Why did they even have hats on? Well, they obviously had hats on the Ross and Ante, presumably, right? But like, there's not much.
Everybody wears helmets a lot, you know. There's space.
Yeah, we don't actually see when we've been on board naval vessels. I don't think they wear. We don't see.
They've not got their lid. No, or whatever they call it, it's not a lid. What do they call it?
A hat.
No, they've got. There's a naval term for it. It's your hatch, not your hatch, your lid.
Or navy hat.
There's a naval term for it.
Navy sea hat.
No.
The watery beanie. A beanie is a very sailor hat, though.
It is. It is. That's definitely got that feel to it. Yeah. Oh, bloody hell. That one's a that's a crap website.
You're looking up hats.
What do the Navy? Dear Google.
No, there is a name for it. You see it on shows and everything.
How many hats do you own, Drew?
I own currently zero hats. I don't.
Well, if you don't go out, I suppose you never need one.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you're the sort of the belt. But what about that cycle helmet that you've got?
Well, that was somebody else's, which is why I had to put it on top of my head because it wouldn't actually go onto my head. Yeah. When was that when we were putting hats on? We all decided to put hats
it might have
on.
Been on the show, I don't know.
Oh no, yeah, we put hats on here, didn't we, at some point? On one of it may not have been this show, but it was definitely something we'd
How many hats do you have, Hamish?
Oh, dozens probably.
Really?
Oh, what dozens? Kind of hats?
Yeah. Well, at least a dozen, I would say. Maybe 20, a dozen to 20.
Baseball caps?
Baseball caps and what you'd say beanies. And woolly hat and stuff like that. Well, my mum gets them because the Browns made me. In fact, the Browns coach sent me some. Browns head coach sent me. Yeah, his name. My mum met their neighbour, the Browns head coach's neighbours on holiday, and he sent me a box of stuff. Yeah.
That's lovely.
I've got five, including the little hat.
What kind of hats?
Two like woolen. Sort of beanie type hats, two baseball caps, and a little hat.
What is it? We're British. We're not Americans.
I don't wear them.
What are they for then?
I mean, I'm not going to throw out a perfectly good hat.
Not a perfectly good hat. If you're not wearing it, it's not a hat.
I don't even know if I could wear a baseball cap over this hair.
It would just be balanced.
Yeah, that's true. We have trouble with you. I'm assuming it's all naturally curly.
Yeah.
Because that would be an awful lot of effort otherwise. What the fuck do they call the... There's a word for it. It's a normal everyday word, but it makes sense in that
it's
context.
It's specific to the Navy, though. The Navy.
Cap.
You are such...
Bonnet.
Bonnet.
Is it a Navy thing?
No, you guys are so evil.
Headpiece.
I'm sure somebody knows what it is. It's
brim.
I feel like it's like hatch, but it's not hatch.
Egg.
Now I feel like you're just making fun of me for the sake of it.
So what is the word you're looking for? What context is this word used in?
Military. You put
military.
Put your. You know. You should be wearing your. Wearing your hat, but what they say is, I'm sure it's
jarled. No,
it's
second hair.
Who do we know who's ex-military? Arch Toasty.
Hairpiece. Is Arch Toasty ex-military?
Yeah, he's in. He was in one of the more prestigious, I don't know what term to use, but yeah, I think as I remember, I can't remember what.
He's so nice.
Surprised them are.
Yeah, people that are in the military are usually not that bad, unless they're like officers or whatever.
I think in America, in particularly, where I think roughly 9 out of 10 people are in the military because it's fucking huge. It's also it's just a way of getting qualifications. And
this is going to annoy me forever. It's a really simple word.
Ob.
I was going to say that Meander, he's ex-military, you might remember.
Oh, okay.
Although I'm pretty sure it's a naval thing, particularly American naval thing, rather than American naval. The problem is that search results are shit these days. You can't find anything.
They really are,
It's mostly berets is what I'm seeing. Beefeater's hat.
For more than 130 years, the primary headgear for sailors in the United States Navy has been the white service hat dubbed a Dixie cup.
No, it's cup. Not that. It's something Dixie more cup. Simple than that.
Peak.
Absolutely the Dixie cup.
Band. Band.
It was just
square rig.
Cap.
Pork pie.
I hope someone puts it in the comments.
Hang on, synonym for lid. I'm gonna look see what I'm It's I've got a cover. It's not cover, is it? Simple as that. Cover.
Oh, cover. I think I might have heard in a military context. Something in cover. Not duck and
duck,
cover.
Duck maybe. And cover.
That's a different thing. Yeah.
You're right. You
know, that's a meal. Duck and cover.
The thing is, I heard it recently as well, but I can't remember where. That's really, really annoying me now.
It's frustrating.
I've probably said it already, and you know, but it's like, you know, you'll get like a senior officer will say to a junior officer, you know, who's not got his hat on, you should have your lid on or your cover on, or your... it's something like lid or cover or hatch. It's that kind of, you know.
You sure it's not just lid?
I don't know.
I've heard lid used in that way, not in a kind of not commonly, but. Put your lid on.
Yeah, it might be lid. Maybe it is.
Hatch? No, you've got that one.
Roof.
So it's a naval military hat that's not a cap.
No, it's not the name of a specific type of hat. It's whatever hat they're supposed to have on that should be on their head, and it's not. So it's like
not bicorn, no.
No, it's not a type of hat. It's not a type of hat. It's a word.
So
a closure. It's a word like hat or close. You know, it's a closure type name that they should have to seal. You know, like as if they're sealing their head up for.
So is it bowler hat?
Yeah, very good.
Headgear cover.
So this have we discussed all of the expanse that we want to? Because now this is the
this is
the old men googling thing show.
It's definitely fallen apart in that respect. Have you had any ideas for the thumbnail yet, Chris?
Yeah. I think I've got a good one.
Okay.
I think it's cover, headdress,
I think we must have said it. It's got to be one of those. But I've said it all these words so many times. It's just wiped it from my head. What it's supposed to be. So yeah, you're right. This is just old men.
Certainly. A chapeau, topper. What about a topper?
No, it's not your top. Your top would be a good one. Yeah. So again, something like that. Your top.
I've got it. A helmet. That's what the
skimmer. Skimmer. Skimmer.
It's a simple everyday word, so maybe it is lid.
And cover. Just... Cup, bucket, beanie, shaw hat.
You're just going to keep doing this, Chris?
Yeah, top, funnel, coverall, funnel? Headpiece, hat.
Put your funnel on, we're going out.
Put your funnel on.
Put your funnel on, love, we pulled.